Do you live in fear? If so, then today you'll learn how to push through that fear and even thrive through it. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Listen, I don't know how God is speaking to your heart and what He's speaking to your heart about, but I know this, He's present and He will be with you and in you if you invite Him in and if you trust Him. And I know that you're going to be afraid because everybody gets afraid, but you can feel the fear and do it anyway. And God will be faithful to reassure you. And when you take those baby steps, then you're walking and then you're running and then you're soaring. And He's looking for people who will believe Him, who will step up. God shows up when you and I step up.
The story of Gideon is a great one in the Bible, but he is a very unlikely hero. He was definitely not the guy you'd pick to deliver Israel from their enemies, the Midianites. But in spite of the fact that he was fearful and needed tons of reassurance, God used him mightily to deliver His children of Israel. And guess what? Through Gideon's life, you and I can see how to push through the fears we face each day. This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. And today we're in part two of the lesson entitled, Pushing Through the Fear. And we'll be reminded of what God says about fear and how we can step up, face it, and have victory over it. Now, this is a message that will touch you right where you live because we all have fears in life. You know, the deep down ones that we don't tell anybody about. But we also know that we're not hiding them from God. The message is one of four in Pastor Jeff's series, Courageous, How God Shows Up When You Step Up. You can find out more about this at fromhisheart.org or listen to broadcasts you may have missed. If you can now, though, turn in God's Word to chapter 6 of the book of Judges, and let's learn how to push through the fear.
Judges chapter 6, it says, Then the sons of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hands of Midian 7 years. And the power of Midian prevailed against Israel because of Midian. The sons of Israel made for themselves the dens which were in the mountains and the caves and the strongholds. For it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites would come up with the Amalekites and the sons of the east and go against them. So they would camp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance in Israel as well as no sheep, ox, or donkey. Things are bad when that's happening and they're wiping out all your crops. It says, verse 5, For they would come up with their livestock and their tents. They would come in like locusts for number. Both they and their camels were innumerable, and they came into the land to devastate it. So Israel was brought very low because of Midian. And the sons of Israel cried to the Lord. Verse 11, Then the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak that was at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, as his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress in order to save it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior. Then Gideon said to him, Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us? And where are all His miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. And the Lord looked at him and said, Go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? Gideon, as we're going to see, is a very fearful recipient of the Word of God. But Gideon pushed through his fears. Hey, how can you and I push through our fears so that we can walk by faith and not by sight? Three encouragements from God's Word from the life of Gideon. Number one, encouragement number one, we can remind ourselves of the Lord's promised presence. Now, God had said to Gideon, go in verse 14, have I not sent you? And Gideon's response is this, O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? I mean, haven't you heard the song? Everyone considers me the coward of the county. Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house. But the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you. Certainly, assuredly, that's what that word surely means. Certainly I will be with you. Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man. God says, well, this is how you're supposed to do it. I'm going to do it through you. I will be with you. What's the way to push through fear when you're afraid and you're thinking, God, you're asking me to sing in the choir? Well, Lord, how could I ever do that? You remember his presence. I will be with you. God, you're asking me to teach a Sunday school class? Oh, Lord, how could I ever do that? Because I will be with you. That's how you can do it. The old phrase says, I can't. He never said I could. He will. He always said he would. And hey, when God is present, and when God says come, and when God says follow me, wherever God leads us, he is faithful to provide for us. And that's what he did with Gideon. Now, the big question is this. When God impresses upon your heart to do something, when you read something in Scripture and you sense that God is asking me to do this, the big question is, will you believe God? You boil it down, any type of activity where the Lord says, do this, the big question is, will you believe God? When he says that I will deliver Israel through you, Gideon, he had a big test of faith. His test of faith was, will I believe God? So how do we push through? Here is Gideon, and he's nervous, and the Lord is telling him these things. I will be with you. We remember and we remind ourselves of his promised presence. He's going to be with us. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, he is with you always, even until the end of the age. So you remember his presence. Secondly, we can feel the fear and obey anyway. Hey, how do you push through the fear? You feel the fear and you step through anyway. Gideon's situation. The Lord says, I'm going to be with you. And then Gideon asks the Lord for a sign, and the Lord gives him a sign, and then he realizes that he's talking to the Lord. He thinks he's going to die because he knows that the Lord told Moses that no man can see my face and live. And he said, I've seen the face of the Lord. I'm going to die. And God says, don't be afraid. You're not going to die. And then he names that place Yahweh Shalom. The Lord is peace, because God gave him peace in the midst of his fear. And then the scripture goes on to say in verse 25, now the same night it came about that the Lord said to him, take your father's bull and a second bull, 7 years old, and pull down the altar of Baal, which belongs to your father, and cut down the Asherah that is beside it. So you have the altar to the false god Baal, and then you have this pole of Asherah. She was the goddess of the sea, the Ugaritic goddess of the sea, another false god, a female deity, and cut down that pole and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this stronghold in an orderly manner, and take a second bull and offer a burnt offering with the wood of the Asherah pole, which you shall cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants, and now watch this, and did as the Lord had spoken to him, and it came about because he was too afraid of his father's household and the men of the city to do it by day that he did it by night. He was afraid, too afraid to do it during the day. God is asking him to do something, and it's not just anybody's altar he's supposed to tear down, it's daddy's altar. Tear down your father's altar. Really? Daddy's, can I do somebody else's? Maybe somebody from another town? Somebody doesn't know me? Can I do that? No, tear down your dad's altar and then offer one of his bulls as his sacrifice. Use the wood from the Asherah pole for the fuel, and then that's what you're going to do. Build an altar to the Lord and offer a sacrifice on the altar to the Lord. And man, that was big. That was a tall order. That's the first thing, first crack out of the box. Now, it's a tall order, and it's a scary endeavor. And he thinks, if I do this during the day, man, they're going to kill me. They're not going to let me do this. So he's too afraid, so he did it at night. But here's the point. He did it. He felt the fear and he did it anyway. You mark this down. Fear is okay as long as our faith is greater than our fear. Fear's okay. Now, fear is of the devil. The Bible says that. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and discipline. But fear is okay because fear is normal and it's natural and it's the human experience. We all experience fear. So some people say, well, you know, I just got to wait until there's no fear. And when there's no fear, then I can serve the Lord. Then I can do this. Then I can do that. Then I can step out. Well, if that's your attitude, you're never going to do anything for the Lord. Because you have a real enemy, and his name is the devil, and he uses fear. That's one of his chief tools to get you and me to not do what God wants us to do. It's fear. And he knows that if he can get you afraid, that he can get you to retreat and to back up. You know what's so cool? David, the one who we look at is so courageous, but yet he struggled with fear, because when I'm afraid, I will put my trust in you. He wasn't a guy that was just, I never have any fear. He did have fear. Paul, who did such great things, told the Corinthians, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. He felt the fear. Fear's okay as long as your faith is greater than your fear. When David faced off with Goliath, I mean, it took courage to go out on the battlefield against that 9 foot, 9 inch giant who probably weighed 500 plus pounds, all decked out with all his armor. And he goes out on the battlefield and he's got a slingshot, 5 smooth stones and a stick. And when he goes out there, fear's okay as long as your faith is greater than your fear. You feel the fear and you obey God anyway. Some of you are here and you're sitting on your biscuit. You're not willing to risk it. And you're saying, well, I'm too afraid to serve the Lord. I'm too afraid to do this or that or the other. Hey, feel the fear and do it anyway. That's what Gideon did. That's what blesses the Lord. See, God is pleased when we take baby steps of faith. Just baby steps. You don't have to take this giant step of faith. You just take baby steps. That's what God asks us to do. Listen. You're never going to soar. How can you soar until you run? And how can you run until you walk? And how can you walk unless you first take the baby steps? Him tearing down the altar, that was a big deal. But it's paled in comparison to chapter 7, because chapter 7, he's going to go up against the Midianites, and they had 135,000 troops, and he's got 300. And he's going to deliver Israel with that. And that's a scary, scary deal. So all of a sudden tearing down daddy's altar and making an altar to the Lord and burning the burnt offering, that's small in comparison. They earned him the nickname Baal Fighter. That's what they called him. They were going to kill him for it. And Gideon's dad says, hey, if Baal's a god, let Baal deal with Gideon. We don't have to deal with Gideon. I mean, he's a god. I mean, Israel's so stupid, they're trusting in Baal. Baal can't even take care of his own stuff. How's he going to take care of them? And so his dad intervened for Gideon, so they didn't kill him. But here's the deal. You take baby steps, just little steps. What's God asking you to do? Man, take a baby step and just do what he asks you to do. Maybe the Lord is asking you to sing in the choir. You say, well, how could I ever do that? Well, let me just tell you up front. If you can't sing a lick, he's not asking you to do it, right? I mean, there's something that just, well, maybe God wants me to play the violin in the orchestra. Well, have you ever played the violin? Well, no. Well, don't do it, okay? You learn how to do some of that stuff before you come and bless us with it. So some of those things, they require a little bit of gifting, right? But if God has called you to do this, and for some of you, it's just to get off the fence and to get involved in a class and to start using your life and the gifts that God's given you to share with other people. And you say, well, how can I do that? You take a baby step of faith and the Lord will bless that baby step. Let me just mention one of the ones that's hardest for people to take, and that has to do with their finances. To trust God with their money. You know, we put on every dollar bill in America, in God we trust, and we have the hardest time trusting God with our money, don't we? You know, the Lord asks every believer, he said, listen, the tithe is the Lord, 10% of your gross income, that belongs to God. So God says, you bring that to me. That's mine. And very, very few Christians obey the Lord in that. And so God says, feel the fear and do it anyway. Feel the fear and obey me anyway. And encouragement number three, we can trust God to patiently and lovingly reassure us. God is so good and he's so patient. Look at how he dealt with Gideon. Chapter 6, verse 17. He told Gideon that he would surely be with him. And Gideon said this, if now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who speak with me. Show me a sign. And God did. And God says, bring me some food. And he brought food. And when he placed the food on the rock, the Lord touched it with his staff and fire sprung up and consumed all the food that he brought. And then the Lord vanished in his presence. And that's when Gideon said, I've seen the Lord face to face. I hope I don't die. So that was the first time God gave him a sign. Second time is when the Lord came upon him and he gathered everybody to fight Midian. And before he went out to the battle, you remember, so famous, he asked the Lord in verse 36, if you will deliver Israel through me as you have spoken, behold, I will put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only and it is dry on all the ground, then I will know that you will deliver Israel through me as you have spoken. Well, once he speaks it, you should know it. But here's Gideon. He's fearful and he needs lots of reassurance. So he said, Lord, just I need this sign. So I'm going to put out this lamb and let there be in the next morning, let the lamb be covered in dew, but the ground be all dry. And so he came out the next morning and he felt the lamb, he's all wet, ground's all dry, squeezed the lamb's wool, and all of a sudden all this, it filled up a bowl, and he's like, wow, God did it. But maybe it's just a coinky dink. Maybe it's just a lucky guess. Maybe we need to try this again. So he said, Lord, please don't be upset. But how about this one? How about the lamb is dry and the ground is wet? And the Lord did it. The Lord reassured him. And then he goes to battle. I mean, now you got such assurance that God is gonna be with you, right? But he goes to battle and this is what happens. He has 22,000 with him going up against 32,000 in his army going up against 135,000. He's outnumbered 4.2 to one. And God says, you got way too many guys here for me to give you the victory. Tell everybody who's afraid to go home. And after the stampede of 22,000 that said, I'm out of here, he had 10,000. So now it's not 4.2 to one. Now the odds are 13.5 enemy soldiers to his one. And the Lord says, you got too many. I got too many. I didn't have too many when we had 32,000. You got too many. Thin them out. So the Lord thins them out this time and he takes the 300 dog lappers. You know, they got the water from the brook and they just lapped it like a dog and they're still looking around. The other guys just stuck their face in the water. He said, get rid of those other guys. Just take the 300. You know how much he's outnumbered now? He's outnumbered 450 to one. And God says, that's perfect. That's the way I like it. Because then no one in Israel will think that they won the victory. I won the victory. You're outnumbered 450 to one. And here is Gideon, and he's scared again. And says, the Lord gives him reassurance. And he says to him in chapter 7, verse 9, now the same night it came about that the Lord said to him, arise, go down against the camp, for I have given it into your hands. But if you are afraid, yeah, Lord, I'm afraid. If you are afraid to go down, go with Purah, your servant, down to the camp, and you will hear what they say. And after your word, your hands will be strengthened so that you may go down against the camp. So he went with Purah, his servant, down to the outpost of the army that is in the camp. And you know what he hears when he goes down to the enemy camp? He hears a man talking to another man about a dream that he had about barley bread coming down and flattening their tents. And the guy's like, what do you think about that dream? And his friend said, that's Gideon. The hand of the Lord is upon Gideon, and Gideon is going to come and flatten us out. That's what that means. And when Gideon heard that, he worshiped, because that was the assurance that he desperately needed. And he worshiped the Lord, and he divided his 300 into three groups, and he gave them each a pitcher and a torch and a trumpet. And he said, when I give the signal, he said, let's surround the camp. And when I give the simple signal, you smash the pitcher and you hold up the torch and you blow the trumpet and you say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they did it, and God brought about a great victory. They didn't have a sword. They didn't have anything. They had a torch, a pitcher, and a trumpet. 300 guys against 135,000. God gave the victory. Here's the point. When you need to push through your fear, God is loving and he's kind and he's patient and he's good and he is faithful to reassure us. Listen, I don't know how God is speaking to your heart and what he's speaking to your heart about, but I know this. He's present and he will be with you and in you if you invite him in and if you trust him. And I know that you're going to be afraid because everybody gets afraid, but you can feel the fear and do it anyway. And God will be faithful to reassure you. Listen, when I got called in the ministry, you know, the thing that really tore it for me, the thing that really was the deciding factor, it was this. I don't want to look back on my life when I'm 70, 75 years old. I'm retired now. And I look back on my life and say, you know what? I never went for it. I always played it safe. I was singing that song, leaning on the everlasting arm, safe and secure from all alarm. And that's how I want to live, Lord, just safe and secure from all alarm. And God says, bull, you're not going to live safe and secure. If you're going to follow me, you're going to risk it. You're going to get off your biscuit and you're going to risk it and you're going to get out of the boat. And I said, that's me. I want to live my life for the glory of God. And if I sink, then I sink, but I'm going to trust you. God wants to do that in all of our lives. It doesn't stop with one decision. It just continues to grow. And when you take those baby steps, then you're walking, and then you're running, and then you're soaring. And he's looking for people who will believe him, who will step up. God shows up when you and I step up.
Today's message on From His Heart was called Pushing Through the Fear. It's from Pastor Jeff Shreve's empowering series, Courageous, How God Shows Up When You Step Up. If you're needing to take a huge leap of faith in your life, in your ministry, with your money, your family, your career, or even in your trusting of God in the first place, this series will help empower you to do just that. To find out how to get your copy of Courageous, go to fromhisheart.org and click the Listen tab. Again, you heard part two of the lesson, Pushing Through the Fear, today. And when you do contact us, we'd like you to consider a gift to From His Heart this month. As a listener-supported ministry for the last 20 years, from which Pastor Jeff receives no income, God has provided all along the way through faithful listeners to give, and that allows us to expand our ministry to over 800 radio stations and TV around the world and online all the time. As I said, Pastor Jeff is a volunteer for this ministry, so all you give goes to help us to reach more people for Christ. If you'd like to become a regular monthly Vision Partner, we would appreciate that, and we have some special gifts for Vision Partners. Again, go to fromhisheart.org or call 866-40-BIBLE to find out about that. And if you give a single gift today of any amount, we'd like to say thank you by sending you Pastor Jeff Shreve's new series, More Than Conquerors, a study of Romans chapter 8. Again, the 6-message series for your support this month of any amount. It's available in multiple formats. Call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to fromhisheart.org to make your gift today. I'm Larry Nobles, trusting you'll be right back here next time for another lesson that everyone can relate to. Join Pastor Jeff for the message, Are You Arguing with God? It's from the series, Courageous, How God Shows Up When You Step Up. That's on Thursday, when we'll open up God's Word and share real truth, real love, and real hope from His heart. From From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more at FromHisHeart.org.